Are we on our way out of a global recession or heading into another one?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Another major economy is reporting slow growth for the last quarter. Germany says its economy only grew 0.1%. That's far less than economists were expecting. Now, why does it matter to us? Well, as the last couple weeks have shown us, Europe's debt problems can have a big effect on our economy, and Germany is seen as a relief ship for Europe. For more, let's bring in Bob McKee. He's chief economist of the investment consulting firm Independent Strategy, and he's with us now from London. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first, what is your reaction to this German GDP number? How bad is it that Europe's powerhouse economy is turning up a growth number like this?
Well, Jeremy, I think it is concerning because, as you say, Germany has been the driver of European growth over the last couple of years, driven by exports growth and a very good performance there in investment. And these figures show just a 0.1% increase over the last quarter, a very tiny increase. So that's a bad sign, especially as we just had figures from France which show exactly the same situation, no growth at all there in the last quarter.
Is Germany's problem that the rest of the world simply isn't buying as much German stuff as it used to?
I think that's it, Jeremy. It has excellent products, and it's the second largest exporter in the world. So it's been a powerful force both for global growth and particularly for the rest of Europe. And because of the general slowdown in demand, then it's selling a little less, and we're beginning to see a slowdown in its growth. The question is whether that will continue over the next half of this year or into next year.
Now, Germany has been the linchpin for the European debt crisis. They have been the bailer-outer, if you will. What does this mean for other European countries that are struggling with a lot of debt?
Germany has been the leading growth support and also the paymaster. If it's growing less, it will be more reluctant, perhaps, to bail out other countries. So this is a worrying situation. Hopefully it is a temporary one. I think it is. And we're not entering yet an outright recession in Europe, but it certainly doesn't help in a moment of crisis for the Eurozone.
Well, that's a hopeful view that we'll get out of this soon, because I have to say, when you look at Germany with 0.1% growth, France at 0%, Japan actually shrank last quarter, and the U.S. is at 1.3%. It sure looks like we're heading in the wrong direction.
Basically, in the first half of 2011, the major economies of the world have slowed to a stopping position. The question is whether that will continue, if it's just a patch, a temporary pause. I think that will depend on whether investment continues to pick up and eventually the consumer around the world begins to spend. Consumers are not spending because they've had a huge amount of debt that they built up over previous years. And also governments now have a lot of debt after bailing out the banks during the financial crisis, and they need to pay that down. So when everybody wants to pay down debt, they don't want to spend, and that keeps demand weak. And that's the problem for the world economy over the next few quarters.
So you don't see us heading into another global recession here?
Well, it's a close call, but if you want me to write on the line which way I would go, I would say that we're going to see lower trend growth, probably growth in the major economies of 2% or less. That's very poor. It means that unemployment won't come down, jobs will not be created. But it's not quite into the range of contraction of total output and therefore a new recession.
Bob McKee, chief economist with Independent Strategy and investment consulting firm in London. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in overseas trading this morning, down more than 2% in Germany following that GDP report we were just talking about. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added on another 213 points to close at 11,482, which means the Dow has rebounded completely from last week's losses, though it is still down about 10% since April.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Well, parts of the Northeast Corridor are in for more heavy rain today after record-setting downpours earlier this week. That's just a taste of the extreme weather that farmers around the country have been dealing with this year, flooding for some, drought for others. And the effect of that weather is a tight supply of some crops, which means higher prices for us consumers. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Adrian Hill reports.
There are some fundamental truths of farming. Chief among them?
It's all about the weather when it comes to crops.
Joe Prusacki heads the statistics division for the USDA. He says this year's weather has been much kinder to farmers in some parts of the country than others. In states where the heat just parked and sat, forget about it.
We've had quite a bit of acreage, I would use the word abandoned, down like in Texas, up through Oklahoma.
The weather has been a mixed bag for large-scale farmer Terry Jones, who manages corn and soybean farms down in Oklahoma.
The corn crop will probably be less than a half a crop.
But he's also got acres in Iowa, and it's a whole different story there.
It's going to be one of the better years.
Prices are high because supplies are tight. Farmers with crops to sell stand to make some big bucks. Take the corn crop. I ask Iowa State University economist Chad Hart where the big winners are.
Where it looks pretty good right now is my home state of Iowa. Illinois is looking pretty good. So two of our biggest producing corn states.
The losers include farmers whose crops have been hurt by the weather, livestock farmers who need corn to feed their animals, and, well, pretty much the rest of us.
Since most of us in the economy are corn users as opposed to corn producers, that means higher cost to us as we go forward.
Hart says the shaky global economy could slow down demand for corn, but he says so far supply is falling faster. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
We've got special coverage we're calling The Breakdown, Our Economy One Step at a Time. It is at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
9% unemployment, symptom of a diseased but treatable economy, or the new thing?
I teach in a fairly affluent community, but there are still a lot of people who have lost work and are looking for work and have relocated for that, and often unsuccessfully.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Is 9% forever? The story next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.